Okay, we'll start with our first talk. Does variability within a sports field influence ground-derived injuries? Straw, Henry, Sampson, Bowling, and Brown, presented by Chase Straw.
All right, thank you, Dr. Kaminsky, and thank you, everybody, for being here. So sports turf managers aspire to produce a safe and playable surface. Unfortunately, on recreational-level fields, within-field variations occur. And what I mean by within-field variations, I just mean simply changes within the field. So the most common example is foot traffic patterns, as seen in this picture. An athlete can go from a high-density turf area to a low-density turf area, which could affect injuries. Previous research that has tried to link injury occurrence to ground conditions has been limited to studies that have objectively measured ground hardness. There's only been 5 studies that have actually used objective measures. Each of those studies have used either a penetrometer or a Clegg hammer to measure what the researchers called ground hardness. These studies included several fields, so they were large scale, and then they compared injury incidents to either averaged values that were obtained between and within fields, or arbitrary categories of magnitude, where they try to match injuries with specific sample locations pulled across all fields. In all these 5 studies, there's been minimal evidence of a strong relationship between ground hardness and injury incidents. None of these studies accounted for within-field variability of individual fields, nor did they measure any other surface properties aside from ground hardness that might contribute to injury. So we hypothesized that within-field variations may influence injury occurrence because of changes within the field and the predictability of the playing surface. So our objective was to conduct a preliminary study where we introduced a new methodology to match ground-related injuries to maps of within-field variations. Our participants were UGA club sports, so anybody who's not familiar with club sports, they're a step below varsity, step above intramurals. They're student-ran organizations. They compete at the local, regional, and even national levels. So we had men's and women's rugby, ultimate frisbee, as well as the women's lacrosse team from UGA. So we had 2 study fields. This was a 2-year study that took place during the academic semesters at UGA, so there was a fall and a spring semester each year. So this gets a little tricky, so try to follow me here. So we started at the club field, which is the field here on the left, in the fall semester of the first year. This is a hybrid Bermuda grass Tipway 419 field. It was a sand cap, a 30-centimeter sand cap with clay beneath. Due to scheduling conflicts, after the first month, we had to move to the rec field, which is the picture here on the right. It's also a hybrid Bermuda grass Tipway 419 field, but it's a native soil, sandy loam. So the study remained at the rec field for the entirety of the study, but in the last semester in the spring of the second year, we were able to introduce the club field back into the study. So that final semester, we had both fields going on. So during the first 3 semesters, play only took place at one of the fields, and this was considered each of these teams' home field. But in the final semester, the club field was used for ultimate frisbee only, the rec field was used for rugby only, and then the women's lacrosse team used both. So in year 1, we had 40 participants. The rugby teams participated in both the fall and the spring, and then ultimate frisbee was added in only the spring. And then in year 2, we had 46 participants. Ultimate frisbee was in both of the semesters, and then rugby and lacrosse were added for only the spring. So each of these years are independent from one another, meaning that the participants that participated in year 2 or in year 1 were reconsented in year 2 and included in the year 2 totals. So the way that we monitored injuries was we sent out weekly surveys on Monday to determine the team's activity from the prior week. And then we also wanted to know information about injury occurrence. We asked questions about injury location. Was it a contact, a non-contact injury? Did you seek treatment? How long were you out? Were you able to return to play immediately? And had you had any other previous similar injuries? Also included in the survey was this picture of an alphanumeric grid that we created over each of our study fields. So this is a geo-referenced alphanumeric grid with 3-meter by 3-meter cells, each assigned a letter and a number. We hung the corresponding letters and numbers along fence along the fence in the field. So whenever an athlete got injured and they filled out this injury report, they could report what cell they got injured in. So the injury definition that we provided to the athletes was a physical complaint that resulted from your team's practice or competition, whether you sought medical treatment or not. So while the athletes were recording where they were getting injured, we were simultaneously collecting field data. So we collected weekly field data of soil moisture and turf grass quality, which was measured with NDVI. Soil moisture was percent volumetric water content. We collected this data weekly with the PrecisionSense 6000, a mobile sampling device that's equipped with the GPS, so all data were geo-referenced. And then we collected bi-weekly data of handheld devices, surface hardness with a clay hammer, and shear strength with a TurfTech shear strength tester. So this picture on the right, each dot is an indication of where we collected a sample. And since all this data was geo-referenced, we were able to average them together by month, all the data by month, and create monthly maps of each variable. So we created these maps using ordinary kriging and ArcMap. Anybody who's not familiar with kriging, it just takes the known sampled locations and uses them in a set of linear equations to predict unsampled locations. And what you get is a continuous surface map like this. So these are typically based on a color scale. This is an example of soil moisture. So the lighter blue areas represent low soil moisture. The darker blue areas represent high soil moisture. So with these maps, we could overlay our alphanumeric grid, run what's called a zonal statistics to table tool in ArcGIS, and calculate a value for each individual cell in this grid system. And then we ran what's called a hotspot analysis. So what the hotspot analysis does is it takes the individual value of each cell and its surrounding neighbors and compares it proportionally to the entire field. And what you get is a GI star statistic, which is essentially a Z-score. So a positive and significant Z-score will be a hot spot or a high value, which is indicated by the red cells. And then a negative and significant Z-score will be a cold spot or a low value, which is indicated by the blue cells. And then the yellow cells are not significant and just considered average areas. So with the hotspot maps, we could overlay where the injuries were reported, to try to determine if the injuries were happening in hot or cold spots. So typically the athletes reported a small number of cells whenever they got injured. So anytime they reported four or less cells, we counted those cells and then their surrounding neighbors to try to account for any error in reporting. So once we did that, we conducted a binomial proportions test where we tried to see if the observed proportions of the injuries that occurred in either a hot or cold spot were different than what we expected. So the expected proportions is just essentially the proportion of the field that is considered a hot or a cold spot. So as our results, we had 23 injuries. All these are considered just ground-derived injuries. So to get to these 23, we did what was called triangular consensus validation, where three of the primary researchers sat down. We went through all of the questionnaire responses and filtered out the ones that we thought weren't valid, and kept the ones that were valid, and the ones that we considered to be strictly ground-derived. So given our participant numbers, 23 ground-derived injuries was sort of the range we were expecting, and this table is just a distribution between the different sports teams. Of the 23 injuries, 17 were to the lower limb. This was also what we expected. This is just a compiled map of our alphanumeric grid with the injury locations overlaid. So in that first month at the club field, we had five injuries, and these yellow stars are where the injuries were reported. And then on the rec field for the remainder of the study, once we moved there, we had 15 injuries. These large black boxes are areas that were larger than four cells, but we still felt were small enough that the athletes reported these areas that we included them into the study. And then whenever we moved back to the club field in the spring, we had three more injuries. And you'll notice that this is the alphanumeric grid's a little bit smaller in this because a synthetic field was built at the top during the time we weren't using it for the study. So what we saw was 79% of our injuries occurred in a soil moisture hot or cold spot, and that was the most of our measured variables. Second was turf grass quality, with 76% of our injuries occurring in either a hot or a cold spot. And then surface hardness and turf grass shear strength, 57% of the injuries occurred in a hot or a cold spot. So you'll notice soil moisture and turf grass quality, they have less than 23 injuries. That's because we had data device malfunctions, so we had to remove a couple of the months where injuries occurred. With our binomial proportions test, we saw significant differences occur between observed and expected proportions with respect to turf grass quality cold spots. So 52% of our injuries occurred in a turf grass quality cold spot, whereas on average 20% of the field was considered a cold spot of turf grass quality. And then soil moisture hot spots. 43% of our injuries occurred in areas of soil moisture high values, and only 20% on average of the field was considered a soil moisture hotspot. So since these observed proportions are higher than the expected proportions, this indicates that we saw a significantly higher injury occurrence in these areas relative to other areas. So probably the most interesting thing that we noticed is what I'm calling an edge effect. So whenever we overlaid our injuries with the hotspot maps from each month, and there's a lot going on in this picture, but whenever we zoom in, so these are soil moisture hotspot maps, just examples of a couple months. So whenever we ran a hotspot analysis, we typically had large clusters of hot and cold values within the fields. Whenever we overlaid the injuries, we were noticing that the injuries were occurring along the edges of these hot and cold spots. And what we considered in an edge if the reported cells that the athletes had in the surrounding neighbors, if only a proportion of those reported cells were significant, we considered it to be on an edge. So what we noticed was majority of the injuries that happened in turf grass quality, soil moisture, and surface hardness, hot and cold spots, majority of these injuries were occurring along the edges. And this is important because it makes us think that as an athlete transitions from a non-significant area to a significant area, that might be where the highest risk for injury is relative to being fully within one of these high and low valued areas. So in conclusion, increased injury occurrence in soil moisture hotspots and turf grass quality cold spots, and then the edge effect that we saw with turf grass quality, soil moisture, and surface hardness. Now there are limitations to this study. Obviously it's a small scale study. We knew that going in, that's why we call it a preliminary study, but we just hope that we introduce a new methodology to match injuries with within field variations and maps of within field variations. And then also our questionnaire responses. The study was not funded, so obviously, ideally, we would want an athletic trainer or somebody on staff to reference the injuries for us and actually collect the data as the injuries occur, rather than to have the athletes retrospectively report their injuries. So those are two limitations that hopefully people who do future work with this methodology can benefit from knowing. So with that said, I'd like to thank the several people that have been involved in this study. Thank you to the UGA Rec Sports and UGA Club Sports and the turf managers for allowing us to do it. If I have any questions.
We have plenty of time for a few questions.
Did you feel irrigated, and did you happen to do any correlation between your measurement time and the date of injury and soil moisture?
The question was, were the fields irrigated? Yes, they were irrigated, and we do have weather data, and we glanced at the weather data. We didn't try to make any strong connections, but from glancing at it, we didn't see any correlation between injuries occurring during periods of rainfall versus irrigation. And then your second question was, did I do any correlations between
the date of injury as opposed to your more recent rating? Like if you're looking
at Yeah, so that was a big, so the question was, did we look at any correlation between the most recent data rating relative to when an injury happened? That's a very good question, and that's something we contemplated because we collected data weekly and biweekly, but it became where there was too much data to try to analyze the maps on a weekly basis and try to compare it. So we came to a consensus of doing it by month, but that is definitely something important and something that could influence the results, absolutely.
In your proportional analysis, did you try to account for where the majority of the traffic occurred on the field? Because it seems like one of your maps, a lot of hot spots along the sideline, so yeah, there was very little play there that may have affected the results.
Yeah, so the question was, in my binomial proportions analysis, did I account for field traffic patterns? That's the simplest answer, no. But I think if you go back and you can maybe adjust for it, if you know foot traffic patterns, then maybe you can remove that as a part of the proportion.
To
do. Yeah, absolutely. Ultimate Frisbee, probably not. Rugby can sort of be all over the place because they scrum. So, and they can do that anywhere on the field. So, yeah.
We're going to have to hold questions there and move on, but we will have time at the end. Sorry, Frank. All right, thank you.